has joined.
Good morning.
Morning. Yes, I'm the first.
Appreciate it. And we'll wait a minute or two.
All right.
I'm here too. Good morning. Shalom.
Good morning. We are going to study the third Aliyah from Parashat Vayeshev. And this runs from chapter 37, verse 23 through 36, which is a total of 14 verses. The number 14 is the gematria of King David's name. And King David is a chariot that connects to Malkut, which is manifestation. And that's the essence of the number 14. So let us see if the Aliyah actually relates to manifestation in some way. We will start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Baruch Hu Ishkin Dei B'Kilu Urchimu U'Kilu U'Kilu Urchimu Le'akda L'shem Yud Hei B'Vav Hei V'Yichuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah V'Yihino Am Adonai Eloheinu Eleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kononei Eleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kononeihu. Verse 23. Vayehi kasher ba Yosef elechav vayashitu et Yosef et ketanto et keton et hafasim asher alav. Ketonet hafasim is translated as the coat of many colors. But it's really a corrupted translation. The word ketonet is a protection shield. It has a connection to the four levels of descent that Joseph went through when he was sold.
Has joined.
Vayikahu vayashliku oto haborah v'habor reik ein bo mayim vayeshvu lekol echem vayisu ein echem vayiru v'hine orchat ishmeelim Ba'amigilad ukmalechem nosim nekot utri velot ohim lehorid mitrayamrayma vayomer Yehuda elechav ma'batza ki naharog et achinu v'kisinu et damo l'kuvanim kerenu la'yishmeilin v'yadenu al tehivo ki achinu v'sarenu u'v'yishme'u echav Vayavru anashim midyanim Soharim vayim sheku Vayalu et Yosef min habor Vayim keru et Yosef Vayishmeelim biezrim bokasef Vayaviu et Yosef Mitzrayma Vayashav Reuven El Habor, Vehine Ein Yosef, Babor Vayikra Et Begadav, Vayashav Elechav Vayomar Hayelet Einenu, Va'ani Ana Anizva. Vayichu et ketonet Yosef, Vayishchatu seir izim, Vayitbelu et hakutonet badam. Vashalchu et ketonet apasim, Vayaviyu el avihem. Vayomru zot matanu, hakerna haktonet, bincha hiim lo, vayikira vayomer ketonet, bni haya ra'a akal kustaro. Yosef, Vayikra Yaakov Shimlo Tav, Vayasem Sak, Vamatna Vayitabel, Al Bino Yamim Rabim, Vayakumu Kol Banav, would call Bino Tav. Benachamo v'aymayim, v'hitnachem v'yomer ki ered el b'nei avel sha'ola v'ayefa oto aviv, v'hamdanim machru oto el mitrayim lif. Potifar, Lipotifar Seris, Faro Sar Hatabachim. This is the end of, or the completion of the third Aliyah in Hebrew, and we'll now study it in English. The word ketonet seemed to be repeated repeatedly throughout the verses. So let's see if we get a sense of what ketonet translates as. Verse 23. Now it came to pass when Joseph came to his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his shirt and of the fine woolen coat which was upon him. And we know that the fine woolen coat is a corrupted translation, but it's better than the many colored coat. And the four levels of negativity, he is first sold to the Canaanites, going down to Egypt, and they cross paths with the Ishmaelites, Ishmaelim, going down to Egypt. So they sold Joseph from one caravan to another. And the third, he was sold as a slave to Potiphar. And the fourth was when he was sentenced to serve years in jail. Those were the four descents that Joseph needed to go through in order to teach him the humility that he needed to learn.
Has joined.
Verse 24. And they took him and cast him into the pit. Now the pit was empty. There was no water in it. The code word water, anything having to do water, wherever it occurs in the Torah, is referring to Torah. But Torah is not just the scroll. It's not just the words, although how important those words are. Torah is living an ethical life. Torah is doing the right thing. Verse 25. And let me reiterate, as I've said many times before, to be righteous means you do four levels of rightness, of right things. To do the right action at the right time, in the right place, with the right kavanah, the right intention. Without those four levels of rightness, all actions are going to be some aspect of negative. Verse 25. And they sat down to eat a meal, and they lifted their eyes and saw. And behold, a caravan of Ishmaelites was coming from Gilead, and their camels were carrying spices, balm, and lotus, going to take it down to Egypt. Now, why do we really need to know that the Ishmaelites were carrying these spices, or this balm, or the lotus? It doesn't really enhance our understanding, but it does. The Midrash comes to explain the reason why this information was necessary, because he was originally sold to one caravan that had foul odors associated with it. And so Hashem arranged that those foul odors, he didn't have to deal with it anymore. They traded him, they sold him to the Ishmaelites, who were carrying good-smelling items. And Judah said to his brothers, "What is the gain if we slay our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, but our hand shall not be upon him, for he is our brother, our flesh, and his brothers hearken." If you'll remember, the second Aliyah, Reuben was the one who stopped them from killing him and put him in the pit. Reuben had the idea that he would come back later and take him out of the pit and save him. But Judah didn't let that plan take place. And this will become meaningful as we move on in our stories of the Torah. But always remember, the stories of the Torah are not meant to be stories. They're stories only to conceal the light within the story. Verse 28. Then Midianite men, merchants, passed by, and they pulled and lifted Joseph from the pit. And they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 silver pieces. And they brought Joseph to Egypt. So you see that verse 27 should come after verse 28. Because the Midianites took him out of the pit. Then they sold him to the Ishmaelites. But the Torah is not chronological. You have to recognize the meaning in order to put the sequence of events together. Verse 29. And Reuben returned to the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit. So he rent his garments. Ketonet is being translated as garment. And he returned to his brothers and said, "The boy is gone. And where will I go? And they took Joseph's coat, and they slaughtered a kid, and they dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the fine woolen coat, and they brought it to their father, and they said, "We have found this. Now recognize whether it is your son's coat or not." He recognized it, and he said, "It is my son's coat. A wild beast has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn up." And Jacob rent his garments, and he put sackcloth on his loins, and he mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters arose to console him, but he refused to be consoled, for he said, "Because I will descend on account of my son as a mourner to the grave." And his father wept for him. Now, we know that Jacob has sons. Did you know he also has daughters? Well, we know about the one daughter, Dinah. But Dinah's no longer in the picture because she has been raped. And the Midrash says that she was actually sold to Potiphar's wife, who could not have children. And so Dinah is the daughter of Potiphar's wife. And that is the daughter that marries Joseph ultimately. Verse 36, and the Midianites sold him to Egypt, to Potiphar, Pharaoh's chamberlain, chief of the slaughterers. So we've read 14 verses that are connecting to manifestation. What is the manifestation? The manifestation is the descent, the four-level descent to Egypt and to his destiny.
I have a question, Hanout.
Go ahead.
You were talking about Dinah, and that she was sold to Potiphar's wife, and that was the daughter that became Joseph's wife, or he married.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
In our upbringing, we heard that Dinah was pregnant with Shechem's son or daughter, and that daughter was the one that married Joseph.
I could be corrected that it was not Potiphar's wife, but his
Is it Dinah?
I don't remember hearing that Dinah was pregnant, only that she had been raped.
Well, yeah, that's why I'm kind of clarifying, because I heard it was Dinah's daughter that married Joseph, which was Potiphar's wife's daughter as well.
And that there can be multiple midrashim, and they do not have to be consistent.
Well, they're about, Dinah and Joseph is about the same age. I mean, when Leah, what my understanding is that Leah was pregnant, and she asked that she have a daughter instead of a son so that Rachel could have a son, like her in the maidservant.
Yep. Yes, that's also a midrash. And about the same age is... Joseph was 9 when Rachel died giving birth to Benjamin. And it was after the settling in Shechem that Dinah was raped. So was Dinah 9 years old? I don't think so.
Right. No, know, she's probably 12, 13, 15. They were close in age.
They were all of them were relatively close in age. So the first child, you know, there were 20 years with LaVon, so the first child would be at roughly 25, 26 years older than Benjamin, is the way to look at it. They were all in that series of years.
Right.
But essentially, the Midrash, we have multiple Midrashim. I have not read all of them, and I don't remember some of the ones that I have read. So, and we also understand that various Midrashim do not have to be consistent with each other, because the Midrashim is relating to the potential movies that the world goes through. So you could have a Midrash that says that Joseph married the daughter of Potiphar, or you could have a movie that says that he married the granddaughter of Potiphar. They're not inconsistent. They're not consistent, but they're all part of that process. And they represent two different potential worlds that decisions are made to follow.
Well, if you look at Joseph's time in Egypt, you know, he became Potiphar's right hand, per se. And then the thing happened with Potiphar's wife, and then he went to prison for, I forget, years.
12 years.
And then he got out. So he was not married at that time. So if you look at the age of when he actually became the vicar of Egypt, you know, that Dina would have been up in age as well. And usually childbearing really starts at an earlier age with the women in the biblical times. So that's why I question that, and thinking that it was Dina's daughter that married Joseph, because of the age. Not to say that Dina could have had could have been married and had children, two sons, absolutely. You know, up even when she was in her, I mean, look at Sarah, she was 90 years old, something like that. But, and some women did have children up in age. So I'm just wondering, was it Dina or was it Dina's daughter or one of her daughters?
I would suggest you do a question to Google, and they will answer it. Or you can go to askmoses.com, which is associated with the Chabad organizations, and ask the same question, and they will answer it as well.
But does it say in the Hebrew that it was Dina? Does it actually state her name?
No, okay. It does not. No, it's all of it is coming from the Midrashim.
Okay. But we can say that it definitely is Dina or a descendant of Dina of some sort.
Yes, because again, the Midrash says that Potiphar's wife followed astrology, and she saw in her astrology that she was to bear a child from Joseph, and that's why she tried to seduce him.
Right. Okay.
Misread the astrology because it was to come from her lineage, not from her.
Right.
Since we have a few minutes, and I think it's time to start, you know, getting a little bit more esoteric with respect to Hanukkah. This particular handout that I'm going to read is available for you on the sepharia.org website. And that's spelled sepharia.org. And there's a search box on the left of that page. Type in the word Hanukkah, and the first item that comes up is what I'm going to be reading from for the next few days, or maybe a little longer, we'll see. This first part is just stuff that's widely known. Hanukkah is an eight-day winter holiday commemorating a Jewish victory over Greek conquerors in the second century before the Common Era. It is widely known as the Festival of Lights. Due to the practice of lighting a candle or oil lamp for every day of the holiday, that's a physical explanation, and in Kabbalah, we never accept physical explanation. So why is it called the Festival of Lights? And over the next few days and during the holiday, I will answer the question, what is the spiritual cause of Hanukkah? This ritual recalls the miracle in which the oil of the temple lights lasted for 8 days, and when it was expected to last for only one night. Now, in Leviticus chapter 8, verse 33, it says, Umi petach ohel moed lo teitzu shivat yamim ad yom meloet yamei milueichem ki shivat yamim yamale et yedchem. You shall not go outside the entrance of the tent of meeting for 7 days, until the day that your period of ordination is completed, for your ordination will require 7 days. Now, the question can be asked, why is this being brought as a discussion of Hanukkah? Hanukkah is 8 days, not 7 days. And it's talking about the ordination of the priest, of the high priest. One explanation that occurs to me, and it's a question that I've asked before, Hanukkah is 8 days, but the oil only lasted 7 days, or an additional 7 days. So the miracle is only 7 days. And so while we talk about 8 days for Hanukkah, we also have to realize the miracle was only 7 days. In the Talmud, in the section of Shabbat 21b, My Hanukkah detanu Rabbanan Bekaf he bekislev yomei dahanuka temanya inundila lemispad behon udla lehita not behon shech shenich nesu yonim leache kal Timu kol hashamayim shebachekol Ukshagavra malchut beit hashmona Benitzchum batku velo matzku Ela pach echad shel shemen shehaya mnuna Bechotamo shel kohen gadol velo haya bo ela lehadlik yom echad nasa bo nes vehidliku mimenu shemona yamim leshana acharet kevaum V'yasa'um yamim tovim v'halel v'hoda'ah. The Gemara asks, what is Hanukkah? And why are lights kindled on Hanukkah? The Gemara answers, the sages taught in Megillat Tanit, the scroll of fast, On the 25th day of Kislev, the days of Hanukkah are 8. One may not eulogize on them, and one may not fast on them. What is the reason? When the Greeks entered the sanctuary, they defiled all the oils that were in the sanctuary by touching them. And when the Hashmoneum monarchy overcame them and emerged victorious over them. Now, in the Megillat Tanit, the scroll of fast, talking about the month of Kislev, Bekafe Beya Yom Hanukkah, Tamineya Yomin Dila, Lemispat Kishna Kanatsu Yonim. Call Tamev, call Hashamanim Sheba Hapol, Uksha Giva Rayat Beit Hashmona, Benatom Bedaku Velomatu, Ela Pach Echad Shehayamuna, Bechotamo. Shel Kohen Hagadol, Shelonat Bevelahaya, Volhadlik Ela Yomechad, Benaasavo Nes Hadaliku, Et Yamin Lishna Acharat, Tevo. Ayachet yayat yutet v'marav le'asot Hanukkah het yamim v'heila Hanukkah she'asa me'si hamidbar lo'asa ela sheva'a yamim shenaya u'pafta Ohel Moed Lo Tatsau Shaviat Yamim Wigomer Viomer Vishie Amakriv Vayom Harishon Et Harbano Wigomer Ushivia Hakariv Afrim Vikain Hatsano The Chanukah she'asa, she'lama she'lo asa, ela shivat yamim she'nei ki Hanukat ha'mizbeach osav, shiva'at ha'yamim ve'ha'hag zayin yamim, u'mara'u le'asod Hanukah. On the 25th of the month is Hanukkah, 8 days on which one does not eulogize, because when the Greeks entered the temple, they defiled all the oil there. When the hand of the Hashmoneans was made strong and they defeated the Greeks, they checked in the temple and only found one jar of oil sealed with the mark of the high priest, which remained undefiled. Though there was only enough in it to light for one day, a miracle occurred through it, and they lit the temple lamps from it for 8 days. The following year, they decreed those to be 8 days of celebration. Does anyone have any questions? You all have a beautiful day. We have 3 more classes today. Our 11 o'clock class will be a study of the Sefer Yeshua, chapter 19. We will have a deep Zohar class at 4:30. And our 7 o'clock class hopefully will be a connection to the writings of the Ari. Have a beautiful day. Yom Tov. Shavuot. Colton Turi. Shalom Gadol.
Shalom.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.